Welcome to Econoday's Economist Roundtable. Jeremy Hawkins and Mark Pender are with me today. I am Ann Picker, Econoday's Chief Economist. Where to start this week? Briefly, this week's first of four central bank announcements occurred overnight. The Reserve Bank of Australia left its key interest rate at 1.5%, where it's been since August. The RBA statement was little changed from November's. From the perspective of Down Under, the global economy was again described as growing at a lower than average pace, but the inflation outlook was now considered to be more balanced than it had been previously. Officials also referred to the increase in government bond yields that's taken place since the U.S. presidential election as, quote, orderly. Previously, the Aussie economy was said to be growing at a moderate pace, but now the RBA noted that more explicitly that they expect growth to slow in the near term before it picks up again. They have also placed more emphasis on the economy's transition from the previous mining boom, noting the subdued outlook for business investment, but also the prospect of stronger exports. The meeting took place a day before third quarter GDP is to be released. The consensus forecast for GDP shows that it growth slowed to 0.2% on the quarter, down from 0.5% in the second quarter, while annual growth is expected to slow from 3.5% to 2.5%. The next meeting is in February. The RBA always takes January off for summer vacation. Jeremy, the beat goes on in Europe.
Indeed. Thursday, we'll get the last ECB meeting of the year. And I guess it's going to be at least a reasonably interesting one. And certainly a big chunk of it, I think, in terms of market reaction anyway, is going to come down to really communication and just how clever Mario Draghi and co. are in delivering what they've decided to do this time. If people remember, it was only a year ago when the markets had been, at least what they thought they'd been told, that there would be some kind of easing taking place. Nothing happened in the end and they're extremely disappointed. So I think by and large, they've been led to believe that we'll see at least an extension of a current quantitative easing program on Thursday. I don't think we'll see any more than that, but certainly if we don't get some kind of additional length for the QE program, which ostensibly finishes the end of March next year, most people are thinking, expecting probably another 6 months to be added onto that. The danger is we'll see the sharp sell-off that we saw taking place last year. Other main points, I suppose, we could also see some technical adjustments being made to the ECB's asset purchase program. If anything, really just allowing some changes in the criteria that will help to ensure that supply of those assets they want to buy, they actually can continue to do it. But that's pretty well built in, I think, already. But really, in terms of them not doing anything else than that, comes down to the figures. And somewhat surprisingly, really, we've seen a suite of decent figures out of the Eurozone economy in terms of purchasing managers indices, German economic data crucially as well, which have suggested that growth may at long last be picking up a little bit. And if that is the case, then notwithstanding the fact that inflation, of course, is still far too low, it could well be the case that the ECB, by and large, in terms of major policy initiatives, won't be doing anything for perhaps some considerable time. And who knows, perhaps at long last, they might at some point reach the stage where they're going to be tightening. But I must say, that's an awful long way down the road. Elsewhere, for the UK, expectations at the moment for Bank of England policy really are a pretty one on hold going into next year. The figures here continue to typically beat market expectations on the upside. And it's interesting, I think, just looking at how the pound's been performing. Clearly, we still got this Brexit issue ongoing at the moment. And indeed, we've got the Supreme Court discussing the government's challenge to the Article 50 issue during the course of the next few days. But we've seen the pound rally quite strongly. And perhaps it is just a signal that markets can look at politics and other factors for so long. But at the end of the day, you simply can't afford to ignore the economic fundamentals. As I mentioned, UK performance at the moment has been pretty good and consistently beating most market forecasts. So maybe that perhaps the pound can go a little bit higher yet.
Thanks, Jeremy. Mark?
U.S., we had the employment report last week for November, and it proved mixed. It proved strong on the headline level. That was payroll growth. And the unemployment rate dipped very dramatically, 3/10 to 4.6%, which is within the Fed's existing goal. But inflation is the other side, and we saw an actual dip in hourly earnings, which was quite a surprise and gives the Doves something to talk about at next week's FOMC meeting, where, however, a rate hike is still the expectations. I had a question. That was an interesting thing on Australia. The prospect of stronger exports. With the new Trump administration, I don't think that's a common expectation.
You're talking about Australia?
Yeah.
Australia is primarily an exporter to China. And if expectations are for China's growth to improve, automatically Australia's exports, and for those that matter, New Zealand's, will increase as well. And I think that's where they're looking, not so much to the U.S.
So they're looking for strength in China.
I'm sorry?
So Australia is looking at pending strength in China, increasing strength?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, we had the export report here today, the International Trade Report, and exports were weak. And that is, a growing concern here, especially with the strength of the dollar. And right now for fourth quarter GDP, net exports look to be an unfortunate negative, even though the GDP rate here does look like it will probably trend in the 3% area, based, if nothing else, on the strength of consumer spending. And the U.S. consumer has been out in force buying vehicles, which is a strong statement of confidence. And I also had a question for you, Jeremy. You were saying that you don't think the ECB will be doing much, but then you also were talking about the additional length of the QE program. How about you? Extending that program, how big of a significant thing would that be?
I think it'd be more significant if they weren't to extend it. I mean, so I'm not talking about particularly increasing the asset purchases on a monthly basis. We're just talking about maintaining the current purchase program as it stands at the moment. So essentially, we're talking 80 billion euros worth of assets that the ECB has been buying now. And say the expectation is that rather than potentially finishing it in March, which was never a fixed date anyway, but right. Yeah, it's thought they'd probably run it forwards.
So the extension of it at its current level would not be considered a policy change?
Well, not really. I think as far as the market's concerned, I mean, we know that Mrs. Draghi and co. have been talking about how important it is to maintain a very accommodative stance going forward. So you know, implicit within that, I suppose, is an unchanged stance in the sense that if we're buying these assets now, we should continue to do so in the future. Because if we stop buying them, mm-hmm. then we're no longer pumping additional liquidity into the system.
And there's no time frame at withdrawing stimulus, as you were saying, because here there is, right?
Certainly not at this stage. But one thing, yeah. Just going back to this export issue, which I think is going to be one of the sort of the global issues as we go forward, especially with the U.S. administration in now. Looking at the third quarter Eurozone GDP accounts we had out this morning were no big deal. And net exports, in fact, actually subtracted just a tick off the growth. So that doesn't matter too much. But looking at the new PMIs we've got so far for the fourth quarter for the Eurozone and indeed for the UK, you know, the export components of those are starting to move up very sharply now. And most of the anecdotal evidence, you know, comes down to the fact that, well, it's really good news because the euro's weakened a lot against the strong dollar. And so you kind of wonder if this change in exchange rates continue and Europe continues to tap into US domestic demand, just whether that's going to become some kind of a hot potato for the policymakers on your side.
Well, I think so. That's why the export comment out of Australia caught my eye. God, I've been reading stuff out of China that they're concerned about their export growth as well. And here, because of the dollar, it can become a significant, a factor in on the margin. Something like a drop in exports could be, a major negative.
classic problem, not enough global demand and everyone trying to tap into it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
In reality, we have no idea what effect on exports to or from the U.S. will have when the new administration officially takes office.
Yes, of course.
That's all to be decided.
To unfold before us.
Yes, that was the word I was looking for. Thanks, guys.